turn in the Scriptures of Truth to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed, and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. May the Lord bless the reading of this psalm to all of our hearts. Let's bow together for a moment. Lord, we seek Thee now in this psalm. We pray Your blessing upon that which we have read, Your word. And now that which will follow, as we seek to bring the message in these minutes, we look to the Lord for the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Come among us now and bless us. Drive away, Lord, distraction. Drive away sleepiness. Drive away all the things that would take away from what God is saying to our hearts this hour. Help us to meet truly with Thee now in the Word. Baptize this preacher with the power that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to think about what to do in the wilderness. Maybe you're in a wilderness today. I know not, but what do we do? Well, we have guidance here in the Scriptures of Truth. And we're taking for our text the opening two verses particularly. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. The author of the psalm is David, and the occasion upon which this psalm was written is given to us in the title, David is in the Wilderness. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It was probably written in the time of Absalom's rebellion, when David was forced to flee from his son. Absalom had stolen the hearts of Israel. He committed treason and proclaimed himself to be king. And when the news of this reached the palace, David had to flee. He left Jerusalem, going east into the wilderness of Judah. It had little cultivation, hardly any vegetation, and it was void of trees and water. It was barren, dry, parched, and desolate. And David finds himself in this place. He is hard-pressed by those who sought his life. His life was in danger. His experience seems depressing and hopeless, and yet we find him searching and thirsting for God. Instead of complaining and grumbling, he sings this hymn to God. He didn't lose his song. So often we lose our song when we find ourselves in the most difficult places of life. But David didn't lose his song. And he's able to sing here. As the sweetest of Paul's epistles were those written from a prison cell, so some of the sweetest psalms are those that were penned in the wilderness. We too can expect to be cast into rough and hard places. It's not always sunshine in the Christian life. I think that you've discovered that by now. And this can be so personally, as we walk individually before God in this life. And it can be so collectively, whether in the family unit or in the church family, or even in a wider application. The carnal man complains. The dissatisfied spirit moans. The bitter heart blames. Instead, in that lonely hour, in that troublesome period, in that dark day, whenever we're weary and discouraged, when all around us seems to be barren and dry, we must thirst after God until we find Him. And He commands His power and commands His blessing in the midst of our trouble. So what do you do in the wilderness experience? Let's look at God's word today. Let's see what David did. I want you to see, first of all, the confession of David. And we have the confession in the end part of verse 1. He says that he's in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This is an accurate description of the wilderness experience. And these words were true. Literally, this is where David finds himself as he had to flee probably from Absalom, and he goes into the wilderness of Judah in a very literal, physical sense. He is there. But the words are also true figuratively. The desert is a place of his condition. An exile from home and from his throne. He's far from the sanctuary of God where he worshiped the Lord. He's at a distance from the ark of God, which spoke about the immediate presence of the Lord. He is removed from the people that he loves so much, his own son and trusted counselor, where the great host of his subjects have risen in armed rebellion against him. And so David is passing through a wilderness experience. And this can be our experience in the world in which we traverse. The only place where we will be delivered from such an experience completely is heaven. There's no desert ground there. There's no barrenness there. There's no fruitlessness there. No desolation. Not in that paradise. But sadly, here on earth, there will be such occasions. The desert place. The dryness of the soul. Weariness of life, the experience of the wasteland. Doesn't this describe Ulster, especially spiritually, when we think of our land? We think of the decline all around us. We think of recent legislation that has been forced upon us in this country, not of our own doing, without the Ulster people being given a say, without our own local representation and government being given a say, this legislation on same-sex marriages and abortion being forced upon us in this land. And we think of even the controversy that's going on in our local grammar school in Dalriada. And we've sought, as we said on Thursday night, to make some representation there. We want to see our young people protected and Christians who are at that school having their rights as well and the right to voice their opinion when it comes to these very important matters. Isn't this a description of the work of God generally in Northern Ireland and throughout the rest of the United Kingdom? We're in a wilderness. We're in a barren place where everything around us is dry. So little interest in the things of God. Are we not discouraged when we see that church attendance is falling in this province? When young people are not brought up any longer to go to church. Where there are churches in the most evangelical circles struggling to maintain a Sunday school. I was at a church last year. And I went early for the prayer meeting. There was just a handful of children, just 6 children. 4 of them were outreach children, 2 belonged to the church. in a very large town in this province. And so we look around this and we see the awful disinterest that there is in the gospel and the things of God. And we have to say, yes, we are in a wilderness experience as far as God's work is concerned. But isn't it also true that this is a description of the condition of our hearts? If we're honest, and we look within us, how often the dry and the barren land is a picture of what we are right in here in our hearts. The best and the dearest of God's servants may sometimes have their lot cast in the wilderness. We can feel through our circumstances lonely and isolated, desolate and afflicted, wanting and wandering. And our souls can get to that place of dryness where we feel in great need, parched and dry and barren. It's a real experience. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the poor and the needy seeking water when there was none, and how their tongue failed for thirst. But thank God, the Lord will hear them, and the Lord will not forsake them, as that passage tells us about. Nevertheless, the child of God can be in such a place of barrenness. It is an important step to reach the place of confession, by the way. To be able to say before the Lord with an honest heart, "Oh God, that's where I am. And that's how I feel inwardly. I'm in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Have you ever been there? Maybe that's where you are right now as you sit in this house of God. The trouble with many believers is they don't admit it, or they can't admit it. They don't even sense their need. They're content with just going through the motions of Christianity. There's no thirst. There's no longing after God. No appetite for spiritual things. They do not feel their need. And that's evidenced by the way that they live. No real seeking and searching after the Lord. And their lives are fruitless. You see, our service for God can be barren and dry. And barren it shall remain. Until we are blessed with the fire from on high and the sound of abundance of rain. May God help us to feed our need, to sense our dryness, to admit our condition if that's where we are. David speaks about it here. Then I want you to see the confidence of David in this time. And it's here in the opening line of the psalm. What is his confidence? It is in God. O God, thou art my God. David stirs up his heart to take hold of God. In the midst of his adverse circumstances, he gets his eyes on the Lord. In this hour of desolation, he looks away from the desert and he looks to heaven. David has learned that even in the wilderness experience, he must look upward. And he's able to confidently say, "Thou art my God." Or, "Thou art my mighty one," it could be read. He recognizes him as God, the one who is above all, the one who is in absolute control, in control of the very situation that he found himself in this desert place. God's still on the throne. As God, David is acknowledging that there was one who was ever present with him, even in the hardest times of life. God has given the guarantee of his presence with us at all times. But we are assured of his nearness in the seasons of adversity especially. You will be familiar with the words of the Psalm 46 and verse 1. It's a memory text, one of our modern texts of recent years, where we have the words stated, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." But David is able to go a little bit further than merely saying, "Thou art God." That's a wonderful realization, and it's a wonderful consolation if you can get at least to that place where you say, "Thou art God." David's able to go a step further. He's able to say, "Thou art my God." There's personal relationship here. And just as David had this personal relationship, so have we. The atheist has no God. The heathen worship many gods. But the true believer is able to say, Thou art my God. And He is our God by choice. He is our God by covenant. And He is our God by confession. It's sometimes hard to see God in such times. When you're in the wilderness, it just seems to be desolation all around. Sometimes hard to see the Lord. Hagar saw God in the wilderness. You remember she fled there. Whenever she was found with child and her mistress dealt harshly with her, and she fled out into the wilderness. In Genesis 16 and in verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Verses 13 and 14. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thy God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kedesh and Bered. The Lord found her there. And she saw the Lord there. In the midst of this adverse circumstance, she was in the wilderness, but the Lord was there and she saw him. Moses saw the Lord in the wilderness in a hard time in his life. Exodus 3, the opening verses, speaks about it. He was in the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And he had an encounter with God right there, seeing the Lord in the wilderness. We can say the same for Elijah in 1 Kings 19. In a real difficult time in his life. Verse 4 tells us that he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. When he met with the Lord there. And in this adverse circumstance of the wilderness experience, Elijah saw the Lord. And so did David, fleeing from Absalom, hounded and hunted away from the house of God. In the midst of the difficult circumstances, he saw the Lord. And we need to see the Lord in our wilderness experience. Might be the wilderness of solitude, when we feel all alone. It might be the wilderness of sorrow, and we think of families that are grieving today, the passing of their loved ones, and what an awful desert place that can prove to be. It might be the wilderness of sickness, and sickness is afflicting so many connected to our church family and further afield. It might be the wilderness of suffering in some other way. It might be the shadow of death itself. But in such times, we need to see the Lord. What can I say about the wilderness of a dry and thirsty land where no water is, when the tide is out in the service of God? We need to see God. Thou art my God. And then I want you to notice in the third place the craving of David. And his craving is here in the center part of the text, verse 1. He says, Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The use of the soul and the flesh here is really a reference to the whole man. His soul is thirsty. His flesh is longing. That spiritual part of David is crying out unto the Lord. His very body was crying out. Every fiber of his being crying out for the Lord. Thirst is a yearning for one of the most essential supports of life. You can't forget this kind of thirst. You can't ignore it. You can't overcome it. It must be quenched. It must be satisfied. As with the physical, so with the spiritual. And if you have this thirst in your body,
The only way is to be satisfied is to have that thirst quenched. You need the water. And in the spiritual sense, God is the water of life to our souls. And when our soul is thirsty for the Lord, crying out after Him, the only thing that will satisfy us is God Himself. David's deep desire is for God and God alone. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. He's not craving for water. He's not craving for the blood of His enemies. He's not craving for deliverance out of the barren desert. He's not craving for His crown and His kingdom, but for Thee. This is the right course of action in the season of adversity. When we are in straits and we find ourselves in the desert place, or we're longing for God in the midst of the barrenness and the dearth, is our souls and our flesh crying out? Are we panting after God? And this thirst and longing, with it he cries, O God, early, early will I seek Thee. This seeking is in all earnestness. I will diligently seek Thee as merchants, precious stones that are of great value. This is indeed what to do in the wilderness experience. It is to seek the Lord. And this word early has several applications for us. It can mean early in the morning, when the bed is softest and we are tempted to lie on. I'm not saying particularly that there's an application to the early morning prayer meeting, but I think there is. I'm just thinking about seeking the Lord in the early time of the day, whether it's coming here on a Sunday morning or whether it is rising up yourself, getting alone with God. David would not wait for the noon or the cool of the evening. He is up at dawn, at the cock crowing, to meet with God. Communion with God is so sweet. The comfort and the luxury of bed is forgotten and despised. Morning is the time for the dew and the freshness, and so the psalmist devotes it to prayer and to fellowship with God. Is this true of us? Does the craving of our souls cause us to rise early betimes to seek God? Is fellowship with God so sought after that we mind not the chill of the morning or the warmth of the bedclothes? Meeting with Him whom our souls love is more important than the comforts and the luxuries of bed. Are there not times when in the early morning Jesus comes seeking fellowship with His own? I believe there are. Are there not times in the early part of the day when He comes knocking at the door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, He says to us. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh. He comes to the door of the heart. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. But we are more fond of our comforts. And like the sleepy bride of Solomon's song, we're not fully conscious to His invitations and desires. God forbid that we would miss the passing of our Savior when He comes seeking. God forbid that the words would be written of us, but my beloved had withdrawn Himself and was gone, and that we would have to say, I sought Him, but I could not find Him. I called Him, but He gave me no answer. Oh, for the early seeking of the Lord. David speaks about it here. And the word early certainly has an application to the morning time. But the word early has an application to youth time, young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It is the privilege and duty of every child of God, young and old, to remember our Creator. Does a day ever pass where there is the willful neglect of the Bible without serious thought? You ever let a day go by, dear child of God, you profess the Lord, and there's a willful neglect of reading God's Word, meditating upon it? Do we not suffer seriously in our own souls by giving too little time to prayer? But there is a special word to our children and young people to remember the Lord in the days of our youth, to seek Him early in life, to serve Him early in life. Youth time is the time of energy, vitality, zeal, and strength, and force, and vigor. We're not to give the prime years of our life to the world and reserve the dregs for God. Solomon went on to talk about the evil days that would come and the years that would draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, you remember what Solomon says here. It's the word of God. There will come the time of old age, the time of infirmity and weakness, not the ideal time to be remembering God and thinking about seeking Him. You'll not have the same energy to serve Him. Let us take note that the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolving. It is. These bodies of ours, they're dissolving. They're getting older. They're getting weaker. One day we will be brought down to the dust of death itself. So seek the Lord early. Give Him the best of your years. Work, for the night is coming. An application for young people in this word early. And then I think there's also an application meaning eager. Early means eagerness, doesn't it? A longing. A desire to meet with God. He who truly longs for God longs for Him now. There is a stirring up in our souls. What was David craving after in his innermost being? Well, verse 2 tells us what he's craving after, what he's thirsting and longing for. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. It was God, and particularly the power and the glory of Almighty God. He recalled those times when, in attendance at the sanctuary, he witnessed the power and the glory of God. These two attributes had impressed the mind of David, and he was wrapped in adoration and praise. And now, in the wilderness experience, his heart is filled with an overwhelming passion to behold them again in this place of banishment. The man who has witnessed and tasted the power and the glory of God will long to experience them again. When you feel the nearness and the mighty presence of God, you can but cry in your heart, come again, dear Lord. When you see God at work, believers broken and molded, you can but cry out, visit us again with the streams of the Southland. When you see sinners converted and brought savingly to Christ, again there must be that cry, let it come again, Lord. Multiply the conversion of sinners unto your own great namesake. When you pass through seasons of revival, God is near and He stirred the hearts of His people and the church is blessed, there must be that cry, do it again, Lord. David gives a reason for such a visitation of God. You have it there in verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Life is precious, but God's love is more precious. To dwell with God is better than life itself. Even life at its best. You can live in a palace, and you can live in health and honor, and in wealth and pleasure. Yeah, you can have 1,000 lives, but nothing in comparison to the life which is found in Jehovah's smile. I have a thirst for God today. Got a longing in my heart. I want to feel wave after wave of the blessing of God washing over my soul. I yearn for showers upon the thirsty ground. I long for revival to come. Thank God the seeking soul shall be satisfied. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You read in the New Testament, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God can and will satisfy the hungry soul and slake the thirst. So let us confess our need to Him today. Lord, I am barren, and I'm dry, and I'm parched, and we need You, Lord. Come and visit Your church. Come and visit my life. And satisfy my soul. Oh, may the Lord speak to us in the midst of all the dryness and the dearth that's all around us in this nation of ours. We've talked about the abortion laws and the same-sex marriage laws, and we think of the political upheaval, all that's going on with Brexit and the possibility of an election in the country. We think of the stabbings that are going on a weekly basis in the nation. And we think of this time of the year of Halloween and the celebration of the occult and all that is evil. And we think of the religious decline and the awful disinterest that there is in the things of God. But God's on the throne. And in the midst of it all, in our barrenness and in our dry condition in the land, we need to get our eyes on the Lord. And we need to cry to God and have this thirst of soul and heart. May God give it to us. And may we cry to Him in these days. Let us pray, Father, bless Your word. May Christ be exalted as a result. Grant us, Lord, desires for Thee in our own hearts. Desires for Thee as far as the church is concerned. Desires when we think out into the community there, for the country, for the nation itself, in the midst of all the desolation that we see around us. Oh God, come and visit the land and visit this place. Visit my heart for Jesus' sake. Amen.